looking for news and politic talk for Christians? You found it right here. It's time for another episode of Christian Polita Talk with Michael and Mary Beth.
Was loud.
Well, hello.
That was loud.
Good evening, everyone.
Yeah.
As Michael recovers from blowing his own ears off.
Yeah, I blew my own eardrums. Oh my goodness. Wow, welcome everybody to Christian Polita Talk. Yeah. It's that time again. Time to talk about everything that's been going on in the news, and wow, there's some doozies.
There's some crazy.
There is a little bit of crazy to talk about.
But when isn't there crazy to talk about?
There's always crazy to talk about. You got something to start us off with over there?
You know that I do.
It's Devotion Time with Mary Beth.
The devotion tonight is called Our Liberty. Woe to you also, lawyers, for you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. That's from Luke 11:46. These lawyers weren't like modern-day defense lawyers. They were professing experts in God's law, whose sobering and sacred duty should have been to expound the law of Moses for Israel. They taught in the synagogues and would have been well-versed in and humbled by the law of Moses and its precepts. Instead, they played the hypocrite by putting the weight of their useless traditions upon the shoulders of others. Sin's burden comes off our shoulders when we come to the Savior. Paul spoke of this liberty when the Galatians were tempted to go back under the law. He said, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." That's from Galatians 5:1. May we be as biblical lawyers for this godless generation by expounding the law as Jesus did and make it applicable to them. May it act as a schoolmaster to bring them to liberty that is found in Jesus Christ. The soul search tonight is, did I feel the weight of my sin before I came to the cross? Can I recall the tremendous sense of relief and joy I had when my burden was gone? And the prayer is, Father, help me today to be strong and courageous in my evangelical endeavors.
Amen. So, you know what tonight is, right?
Thursday.
It's our 100th episode.
Oh, yeah.
The 100th episode. Wow, we've really covered a gamut of topics.
Yeah.
In these, you know, wow. You know, going on 2 years now. January.
I know.
So, yeah, it's been quite a ride.
Indeed. I mean, we've seen a lot happen in the last 2 years, and you know, we've expounded on a lot of different topics, as you mentioned, in great depth. And I think it's been really helpful for me myself personally, because, you know, it's given me an opportunity to understand more deeply.
Well, I think that the show has definitely over time definitely expanded in content and format both. You know, still keeping with the same premise, but I think we're a great bit further down the road than we were with our first show.
You know, definitely. That, right?
So,
yeah.
And tonight, you know, we're just a little over 11 days from the midterm elections. And there's a lot of scary things going on right now for some people. And I mean, there's a lot of worrisome things going on right now. And I thought it would be important to talk about living by faith.
Alrighty.
To, you know, tonight. You know, the Bible teaches that faith is a key to everything for the Christian. By faith, we come to Christ. By faith, we live our Christian lives with joy and gladness. But, you know, we've been living through some tough times this year, not only this year, but the year before that, and, you know, the year before that. And we don't always feel tough enough to endure through them.
No, and that's really true. And, you know, there have been some things that have been going on behind the scenes as far as like our life is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there have been circumstances along the way where I have been like, you know, this was a perfect opportunity. Why didn't this happen? You know,
yep.
Why are we, you know, why wasn't this the thing for us? And, you know, it's hard when you're looking at it from the human perspective.
Yeah.
Because God does things in his own time, and he knows the right decisions to make, and he's the one that's guiding life. So, you know, when he decides it's the right time, it's the right time. But, you know, one thing that I can surely say as a Christian, and just from my own personal experience, you know, I get antsy about things, mm-hmm. but God always comes through, because it is to him that I pray and ask all of my, you know, questions, all of the things that are in my heart that he knows. And he winds up sending an answer always at just the right time.
Definitely. And, you know, in the second half of Genesis, there's a sweeping story of an amazing man that I'm going to cover a little bit later on tonight, who had faith no matter what came his way, just like you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Romans 1:17 says, "For in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." So we're going to talk about that a little bit later on in the show. And I feel it's a good topic for tonight. You ready to dive into some news in the meantime?
Oh, goodness.
Politics. Current events. It's what's going on in the world. It's time for the news.
Wow. I feel like I need to salute the flag.
So, along with a lot of gaffes that have been happening lately.
Oh, my mercy. I know.
There is one major headline here that kind of caught my eye really good.
Mm-hmm.
President Biden is saying the price of gas was over $5 a gallon when he took office.
What? Really?
And
wow.
Of course, you know, data shows it was $2.39, but he also claimed that the price of inflation is down. So I don't know where he's getting that information from, but you know, the common price of gas right now in America is $3.39, down from over $5 when I took office, is what Biden said.
I love that.
And we need to keep making that progress by having energy companies bring down the cost of a gallon of gas, that it reflects the cost of paying for a barrel of oil.
Well, you know, if he wouldn't have shut the pipeline down, we wouldn't have this problem.
Well, you know, the national average price for a gallon of regular gasoline the week ending on January 25th, 2021,
mm-hmm.
shortly after he took office, was $2.39. And mm-hmm. that's according from data from the Energy Information Administration.
I don't even think it was that high during Trump's administration. It had to have been in like the low dollar something.
Yeah, I mean, the average price for a gallon of regular gasoline didn't hit $5 until June of 2022.
Where did it hit $5? Probably California or something.
Yeah, one of those areas.
Because I'm like, I know it wasn't here because I would have fallen out. I would have been like, we're not driving anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now, the current national average for a gallon of regular gas is $3.76, over 30 cents more than Biden claimed today.
All right. Uh-huh.
So,
well, I guess we're doing okay then here in South Carolina. Ours is like, I've seen it for $3.19 and $3.29.
Well, so, you know, where this is going to hit and where this is going to be hard, there are a lot of up north and northeast, there are rations of heating oil before the peak winter time. So, you know, as the temperature drops, and it has been kind of erratically off and on.
At least down here.
Yeah, we need to definitely be looking at that.
Yeah, and you know, and that just makes me wonder, because I've known that at times, you know, it's not the same. I'm not comparing. I'm just making a statement, which is, you know, in times past, Russia, you know, people that have lived in Moscow have gone out to the woods and chopped down trees and family on family land and brought it back, you know, to keep themselves warm for the winter. Well,
interestingly enough, I heard that, you know, over in UK, they had rationed, you know, heating oil and things like that over, mm-hmm. you know, in the UK. Mm-hmm. And because they've had a relatively mild winter so far, you know, they're kind of releasing that. It's kind of drove the price down for them a little bit. So, I mean, that's good, because they were really, you know, spreading some, some fear concerns there.
Well, you know, I wonder if a lot of the homes in the UK still have coal-burning chimneys.
Yeah.
And maybe they're, you know, going back to that in some respect.
Yeah. I don't know. I really don't know. You know, there's so many stories that, you know, I wish we had all the time in the world to cover, to kind of touch on tonight.
Yeah, you know, and as we've been speaking statistically, there was something that happened on Fox News that really sort of interested me, and I told you about it, and you heard it too, which there was a statistic that said that 68% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is where we stand right now. Like, if somebody loses a job, you know, the next month they could lose their home, they could lose a car, they could lose, you know, savings, anything like that. Mm-hmm. And then there was another one that it was about, I think it was like 48% of people earning more than $125,000 are also living paycheck to paycheck.
Right.
So, you know, unfortunately, just because you make more money doesn't necessarily mean that you're living improves.
No, it doesn't.
You know, I mean, it just goes to show that we're all kind of in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know that here in our area, there are at least 4 layoffs coming right before Christmas. So, you know, it makes me think about those people and trying to get them into other positions before, you know, they're terminated and everything like that. It's just, it's really sad that these companies would choose to close right at Christmas.
Well, and I mean, a lot of that is because of what's going on economically and things like that. And right now, especially in the next 11 days, you need to arm yourself with as much information as possible about, you know, who you're voting for, because these topics, you know, are very crucial, because there are actually, you know, Democrats that are backing down and, you know, saying that they're not for this person or that person, just trying to save face, because they know that, you know, they're kind of on a sinking ship with a lot of things that have happened, and it's a little too late to pull out. I mean, when their main concern every time they open their mouth is still, you know, we want to make abortion legal, we want to keep it legal, abortion, abortion.
That's the only thing that they actually,
yeah,
you know, are talking about, you know, and
what about the baby food, the formula shortage?
Oh my gosh,
still,
yes,
going on.
Yeah.
What about all, and something else, and you and I discussed this about the camps that are being set up for in New York and those areas for the people that are crossing the border illegally.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it strange that they can find all this money to put these places together. Not only that, but give them a menu that they're used to eating, give them, and there's nothing wrong with helping them, but there's nothing wrong with becoming a citizen, but there's a path to do it.
Right.
And if you're just coming over here and draining and jumping on resources, I mean, there are homeless veterans, there are homeless children, there are homeless families, there's homeless men and women all over this country. And I don't see that type of service being provided for our own.
Right. And, you know, along with that, you know, there have been some breaking stories here in our own area that I'm very proud to mention, which is there are going to be some homeless villages built. They're going to be tiny houses, and they're going to help families get back on their feet, veterans get back on their feet. So I am so glad that there's actually somebody out there who is finally making a move to do this. You know, we have to remember that, you know, some of these people, well, actually everyone, you know, it's not their choice to be homeless. There have been situations in their lives that have caused this. And, you know, no matter what your troubles are, just remember there's somebody out there going through worse. And, you know, if you can help in any way, whether that's with time or with money, you know, reach out to some of these different groups in your own area and see what they're doing and see if you can be a part of that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. You know, keeping those things in mind, keeping also in mind while they're not talking about the price of gas, the price of food, inflation in general, and how it's affecting everyone everywhere. They, you know, kind of refuse to say it because, you know, it kind of goes with the old adage, if you say it, it makes it true.
Right.
It makes it, you know,
real,
kind of brings it out to the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the other things that are going on that we need to really watch is still what's going on over in Russia.
Absolutely.
Because right now there's kind of a, you know, cat and mouse game going right now, and Putin is throwing accusations out, and it's getting very, very dangerous. I mean, Ukraine warns of Russia planning to attack using a radioactive dirty bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these different things. And then, you know, President Biden throws a couple of words in there.
Oh, and, like Armageddon.
Are we making it worse? But here's the thing, you know, it might actually be a ploy by the Russians to set off their own dirty bomb and then blame the Ukraine, given Vladimir Putin cover to retaliate with nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tuesday, President Biden issued a warning, and I don't know what you heard, if you heard this or not. He said that Russia would be making an incredibly serious mistake if it were to use a tactical nuclear weapon, the president said. I'm not guarantee you that it's a false flag operation yet. Don't know, but it will be a serious mistake.
I'm surprised they even tell him anything about this stuff.
Yeah, and it's very, it's concerning.
It is. And yes,
it puts us back in the Cold War.
Exactly. I think it was only a matter of time before that happened anyway, because, you know, as I understand it, Putin's not exactly playing with a full deck either.
Well, and, you know, I think that watching what's going on with China and keeping up with that, don't get lost in the, you know, in the minutia of everything that's going on with the election. Be very cognizant of what's going on around you, because there's so many things that are going on top of all the issues we're looking at. And, you know, the only thing we can do is pray that, you know, some serious decisions will get made that'll start pushing things in the right direction.
I'll tell you, you know, a healthy dose of observation does people very well.
Oh, definitely.
You know, I mean, you've got to think for yourself. You've got to read things. You've got to discuss things with people of like mind, you know, and really get it out there. Because ultimately we are responsible with who gets put into office. So they say,
yes. And, you know, the choice I think that a lot of people made in the 2020 election, just to say that, you know, they got Donald Trump, President Trump out of office. At this point, it's not even, and it hasn't been about President Trump for a long time. The issues that are arising and what is happening goes way beyond one person. It's about now getting the power balanced back so that, you know, the every other word you hear from a lot of these people on liberal media and from a lot of, you know, actors and actresses and things like that.
And Hillary Clinton.
You know, bashing, you know, the Republicans. And they throw out all of these things and say, you know, well, everything's radical. Everything's this, everything.
Woke.
But do you not see how radically in 2 years, less than 2 years, how radically, let's say 18 months, how radically the change has been for this country?
Absolutely. I mean, we were like the most powerful country.
I mean,
and in 2 years, now look at where we are.
You know, they keep talking about we're driving down the price of gas, but you attacked the energy market the first day you were in office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, I don't know, other than fantasy land, where is this stuff coming from?
I don't know. I mean, you know, all through the Trump administration, it was all about misinformation, misinformation, misinformation. Well, what the heck are we getting now?
Well, I got a question for just about everybody. Do you think that anyone has given their pay up like President Trump did?
Oh, gosh, no. Oh, no. They probably even gave themselves a raise.
I think people forget, and we talked about this in one of the early episodes of the show, that people have forgotten that in general, the whole intent of, you know, being in the Senate or being in the House, it was never meant to be a full-time job.
Nope. It's all about being a servant leader.
You were supposed to, you know, live your life, work your job, and come in when there were issues to be voted on. Not to sit here and make policy that needs to get voted on every day. Not to sit here and make policy that's only one-sided or one way. And definitely not to make policy that's not bipartisan.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I do have a happy story to end us on in the news.
Oh, I like happy stories.
It's not really, I would not say happy, but it is a great story.
Mm-hmm.
So did you hear about Hobby Lobby?
No.
So the owner of Hobby Lobby, you know, came out and said, this is God's business, okay? He gave away ownership of the company.
To the employees?
You know, it's become a multi-billion dollar company and one of the most popular craft store chains in America.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes it unique is the whole biblical approach to business,
mm-hmm.
you know, with them.
Yeah.
And David Green, founder and CEO, And he also is author of a new book, Leadership Not by the Book, 12 Unconventional Principles to Drive Incredible Results. He recently told CBN's FaithWire about his company's history and why he has always opted to put God first in his business. And he stressed the importance of looking to the Bible to glean inspiration for running Hobby Lobby. And the process he has learned, you know, to increasingly, you know, lean over the years, it's, you know, he said, I think God wants to bless us. We want to do the very best we can to see his word and how we run our business. And he's been known over the years for giving away substantial portions of his profits for fair wages and giving employees Sundays off to be with their families. And despite the incredible ways Hobby Lobby has operated, Green said there was a process before he and others really learned how to make and keep God's role in front and center of the company. And he said the toughest lesson he's learned is the fact that we need to know that this is God's business. And we had to learn that, and we gave it to him, and that we would see him bless the business. He said most Christians say that God owns their business, but they had to learn it for real. And so Hobby Lobby is celebrating its 50th anniversary. And he said, you know, the business has been really good for him. So basically, he's basically given away the company. He hasn't really said who he's given away the company to, but definitely the company's been given to God.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, you know,
I would like to see more updates on that.
Well, you know, initially they borrowed $600 and started making little frames in their basement in 1970. And they didn't open their first store in Oklahoma until 1972.
Wow.
Yeah. And that initial singular 600 square foot store has expanded to hundreds of locations.
Oh, I love some Hobby Lobby.
Oh, yes. It's the only place you can go and get Christmas in July.
You ain't kidding. Like, get your ornaments now while they're hot.
But in all seriousness, you know, the next 11 days, you know, surround yourself most importantly with prayer and thoughtful insight on what the real issues are, and how things are being affected. Really, the implications of things that go on here kind of have a world effect. You know, all the money that's being spent, the way the economy is, and, you know, the rest of the world kind of sets their economy and value based off the dollar, and the dollar's just dropping. So, you know, we need, much like Hobby Lobby gave its business to God, we need to give this country to God, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, along with that, you ready to move into some learning time?
Let's slide on in.
It's time to learn. It's time for the message.
It's so serious sounding.
That's because you're so serious.
So, we're going to talk about living by faith. That's what, you know, I talked about at the opening of the show. And it's a funny word, gullible, right?
Yeah.
It's an unusual word to start a topic off with, and it never ceases to amaze me just how gullible people are. You remember P.T. Barnum said, there's a sucker born every minute. And he was right. It seems there's no limit to what people will believe. And I want you to listen to some titles that have appeared in the tabloids, you know, found around the grocery store and the checkout lines, you know.
Oh, goodness.
Cow mattresses help cows produce more milk.
What?
Mom-owned diet of only chicken lays a huge egg. World War II bomber found on the moon.
Oh.
Woman gives birth to a 2-year-old baby. Mm. And the child walks and talks in 3 days.
I thought you were going to say it walked out.
Adam and Eve's bones were found in Asia. And Eve was a space alien.
Oh.
So the sad thing is that many people believe this nonsense. And being gullible is certainly a word that can be used to describe many people. But gullible has also been used to describe Christians. Some people who consider themselves to be logical or rational believe that Christians are gullible for their faith in God. We believe in miracles and an unseen God, and to them, that is evidence of our being gullible. My friends, there's nothing gullible about believing in the Lord at all. The Bible teaches that faith is the key to everything for Christians, and by faith we come to Christ. By faith we live our Christian lives with joy and gladness. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, from Hebrews 11:6. So faith is the core of our Christian living. Our faith is the key to unlock the door to certainty and eternity. A famous Baptist evangelist once told a story of an elderly lady who was very upset by all of her real and imaginary troubles. Out of frustration, her family told her, "Grandma, we've done all we can do for you. You'll just have to trust in God for the rest." A look of despair spread over her face as she replied, "Oh dear, has it come to that?" You know, it always comes to that. So we might as well begin with that. Well, let's begin with faith and just see what Scripture has to say as it relates to our salvation and how we live our lives. You know, there's righteousness revealed. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed from Romans 1:17. The Apostle Paul has made the point that God works in powerful ways with the word of God. And here we have righteousness revealed to us. In a lot of passages, Paul points out the truth that everyone who believes in the message of the gospel is saved from their sins. This shows us that Jesus Christ is the center point of our faith. So when Paul writes in the gospel and a righteousness from God is revealed, he is really speaking of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ is the message of the gospel. The gospel centers in the person of Christ. It is all about his sinless life, the atonement of our sins, and the supernatural resurrection. He is the center of the gospel, so he is the center of our faith. God's righteousness is revealed to us in two very obvious ways. Christ is righteousness. There is none other. Christ imparts his righteousness to us. We have been cleansed from our sins. So this is the function and purpose of preaching the gospel. This is why Paul emphasizes Christ and him crucified in his preaching of the gospel. This is why we celebrate the Lord's table together to remember the righteousness and the righteous one who was crucified in our place. This truth is the basis for our salvation. The gospel is an explanation of why we can be saved. We can only be saved because of what God has done. And the Bible teaches us that we are all sinners for two reasons. By nature, we're born into sin. And secondly, by choice, we ignore, deny, and or reject God's plan of salvation. The fact is, we are totally unable to save ourselves. The good news is this. Salvation has been made possible for us through God's Son, Jesus Christ. We must first understand the message of the gospel so we will know how we can be saved. And that leads us to faith for living. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written. The righteousness will live by faith, again from Romans 1:17. The way that this righteousness of God is given to us is only through faith. You see, that is why it is called the good news. If all we understand is that Christ is righteous and we are not, that is not good news. The bad news is when we don't have faith in this truth. The righteousness of God is offered to us only if we exercise our faith to receive it. And in fact, we are told that this righteousness comes to us by faith from first to last. So faith is how we receive the righteousness of Christ. And it's also how we walk in that righteousness. Many of us had faith to receive his righteousness. Aren't you blessed of God for that? But what is the true biblical faith after we have received his righteousness? Is faith something we do? No, on the contrary. The biblical truth is faith. Faith is never a work we perform because we are somehow good and worthy. True biblical faith means rejecting all of our works and trusting completely in Christ for everything. And some people are going to ask, you know, but Michael, how am I going to remember all this? There's an easy way to explain this. Forsaking all, I trust him. See, true biblical faith is casting oneself wholly on the Lord Jesus Christ as your only hope for salvation. Faith is trusting in what Jesus did on the cross is all you need. There was once a man named John Patton who was translating the Bible for a South Seas island tribe. And John Patton discovered that the natives had no word for trust or faith. And one day a native who had been working hard came into the missionary's house and flopped himself into a large, comfortable chair and said, "It is good to rest my whole weight on this chair." And that became a revelation to Patton. He said, "That's it. I'll translate faith as resting one's whole weight on God." So when we believe in God the way the Bible tells us to, we are indeed resting our whole weight on him. It is by faith that we have the righteousness of Christ inputting or imparting to us. But is it also by faith that we live our lives every day? We must not only trust in Christ for our salvation, we also must trust Christ with our lives. So in our text, Paul quotes from the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk when he says, "The righteous just will live by faith," Habakkuk 2:4. So we also need to find this quotation here in Galatians 3:11 and Hebrews 10:38. It is one of the greatest statements of all the scriptures. Faith is the only way we can live. Recently, there's been a lot of interest on television with survival stories. And I know you, Mary Beth, you love survival stories. So, you know, people have become very fascinated with situations of survival. And, you know, I pray to God that we Christians would become as fascinated with spiritual survival. If that were the case, the only thing we would need would be faith in Christ and Christ alone. So our scripture text for today was used by God to change the life of Martin Luther and bring a spiritual revolution to Christianity. You see, Martin Luther was a devout monk living in Rome, Italy. He, like a lot of Christians, had been trying to earn his salvation by doing good works for God. And any one of us can relate to this story in that Martin Luther became very frustrated. He wrote these words to himself, "But what works?" what works can come from a heart like mine? How can I stand before the holiness of my judge with works polluted in the very source? So these words may seem strange and ancient to us, but simply put, Martin Luther was having a very hard time being a Christian and was very discouraged with his relationship with God. Martin Luther began to study the book of Romans. He came across this passage of Scripture: the righteous will live by faith, and God began to use it to speak to his heart. On another day, Martin Luther was in the church of St. John Lateran in Rome, where there was a set of medieval stone stairs, which supposedly were the stairs leading up to Pilate's house in Jerusalem. So apparently, these were supposed to be the stairs upon which Jesus walked. They're called the Scala Sancta, or Holy Stairs. Many pilgrims to Rome would ascend these steps on their knees, pausing to pray at various intervals, where there were stains said to have come from the bleeding wounds of Jesus. So it was there that God brought these words of Scripture to Luther's mind: the just shall live by faith. Luther saw clearly his superstition and shuddered at it. He realized that he could never save himself by works, but he could be saved by the righteousness of Christ received by faith. He descended those stairs a new man, and of course he became the man of God used for the greatest reformation that the church has ever known. And in fact, it is known historically as the Great Reformation of the 16th century. But notice that the Scripture does not simply say that the righteous will be saved by faith. It declares that the righteous will live by faith. Faith is not something by which we can enter into a right relationship with God. Faith is also what we live with every single day. It's not that we come to Christ by faith and then we live by good works. Remember, it is from faith to faith, by faith from first to last. In other words, it is from faith to faith, to faith to faith, and so on. Faith becomes a way of life for us. Faith is the principle of life for a believer. So the Bible calls all of us to trust in Christ. We are called to believe in Christ. Do you believe? Do you truly trust Christ? Have you experienced in the Spirit that Christ is your Savior? And does your heart call out to Him in childlike trust? If you do not know Jesus, cast yourself on Him as your only hope of salvation. And if you have trusted Christ and you have been touched by the power of the Holy Spirit, then it is time to set aside your own strength for living. Trust Him daily. Christ is all you need. It has been said, by John Calvin, that the righteousness of Christ avails itself before God. The Bible tells us that those who are saved by faith become holy, as are all things that belong to God. For example, the Israelites were set apart by God to be His own holy people in Exodus 1:95-6. What ought to have been the spiritual and moral character of their lives also ought to have marked the character of our lives in Christ. Titus 2:14 says that Christ gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. We have something that God's people did not have in Exodus 19. That is God's Holy Spirit to help us out. Our faith in Christ should naturally produce a godly result. So missionary David Brainerd talks about how this was proven in the missionary field God sent him to. I never got away from the teaching of Jesus and the crucified. When my people were gripped by this great evangelical doctrine of Christ and him crucified, I had no need to give them instructions about morality. In another place he wrote, I find my Indians have begun to put on the garments of holiness, and their common life begin to be sanctified, even in small matters where they are possessed by the doctrine of Christ and him crucified. So I want to talk about faith for the days, you know, and the tough days that are ahead for us. Robert Schuller was famous for his saying and book, tough times never last, but tough people do. And as I said before, we have been living through some tough times this year, and we don't always feel tough enough to endure through them. And as I said before again, in the second half of Genesis, there is a sweeping story of an amazing man who had faith no matter what came his way. And today I want us to look at that story and learn about having faith for the tough times, just like Joseph had. And here's a quick reminder of this familiar story. So Joseph was one of the last two children born to Jacob by his favorite wife, Rachel. Jacob favored him. Joseph dreamed his brothers and father would one day bow to him in Genesis 37, 1 through 11. There was a lot of sibling rivalry, and when he told his brothers about his dream, they were moved to get rid of him. His brothers sold him into slavery, and that comes from Genesis 37, 12 through 28. So in Egypt, he was a slave in Potiphar's house, where he was highly thought of by his master. He was also highly thought of in a different way by his master's wife. She falsely accused Joseph of trying to seduce her, and Joseph was thrown into prison. In prison, Joseph helped his fellow prisoner, Pharaoh's cupbearer, by interpreting his dreams. He only asked to be remembered when the cupbearer was free. Joseph remained a prisoner for two more years until Pharaoh had a dream he couldn't understand, and the cupbearer said he knew a guy. Pharaoh then promoted him as second in command over all Egypt due to his excellent planning. When a famine came, Egypt had plenty of food. So Joseph's brothers came to beg for food. They didn't recognize him, but he recognized them. See, Joseph demonstrated great humility, faith assuring them that when they had planned for evil, God meant for good. He was reunited with his father and brothers, and they moved to Egypt to live. So, how can I have faith in tough times like Joseph? Well, first you need to commit your life to the Lord. Joseph had one of the most amazing faith stories ever. His faith lasted in spite of his brothers hating him, in spite of being sold into slavery, in spite of being falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, and in spite of being forgotten in prison. Building our life on a commitment to the Lord is essential, because so many of us, you know, the hard events of our lives will try to take it away from us. But the beginning and the end of Jesus, you know, in his ministry, the enemy attempted to derail his commitment, and in the wilderness and in the garden, the enemy did not give up. And we can't either. Psalm 37:5 says, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. This is a daily promise to God to stay on his path. Daily prayer, daily reading, daily fighting the good fight. We can have faith in the tough times when we commit to the Lord and when we love the Lord with the love of the Lord. And in spite of everything that happens to Joseph, we find him serving and caring for others throughout the entire story. He served with excellence in Potiphar's house, interpreting dreams of his fellow prisoners, serving well under Pharaoh's watchful eye. Joseph puts his heart into every task before him, and he doesn't let the circumstances surrounding him decide who he is as a man of God. Every believer will be challenged to show love to others, especially in the cultural climate of today. Our decision to be a people of love is based on the two greatest commandments: to love God, love neighbor. The greatest example of that is Jesus, who prayed for those who were crucifying him. Now, were any of you guys offended this week? Why were you offended? And if we could put our whole heart in our work, in our family, in our community, and loving others and serving others, then we will have faith like Joseph. One that will last through these tough times we're going through. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it is our calling. We need to lean on the Lord. In one of the most crushing moments of his life, his brothers appear before him and do not recognize him. They are begging him for grain to relieve the famine. And they are, you know, and are in what they are living through. And it is an opportunity for revenge. And who could blame him? Instead, Joseph weeps before his brothers and embraces them. And he can only do this through the power of God. Genesis 50:20 says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. How are we leaning into faith today? Many times we feel we do not have the strength to make it through the tough times we're facing. And we may not. But we lean on the strength of the Lord to see it through. Hopefully everybody agrees with that. Yes, indeed, I hope you do. So Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So the conclusion of all this is, how can I have a faith for the tough times? Commit your life to the Lord. Love with the love of the Lord. And lean on the strength of the Lord. In closing, Hebrews 11:22 tells us that Joseph's faith extended far into the future. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. So hopefully some of this is inspirational enough to make you want to dig into the word more and start leaning on that faith more, because that's, we really all need it. Would you agree to that?
Yes.
What Did any of that stand out to you? I'm sure it did in many ways.
Yeah, actually.
So, you know, as I said earlier, especially with the things that are going on, it is crucial that we do not get caught up in the semantics of things and that we lean on God and trust in God and pray for those right decisions, and then we make the right decisions. And as I said earlier, if you, you know, it's about turning over yourself. If you've never done that before, you know, that's what you have to do. You have to admit to being a sinner and willing to turn from that sin and repenting and believe that Jesus died for you, just as I've been talking about. He was buried and rose again to pay the price for that. And if you've never prayed for your salvation, you don't have to be in a room full of people. You don't have to have a preacher do it for you. You don't have to do it in front of anyone. You can do it wherever you are right now listening, or if you listen later on a podcast, say this prayer out loud. Father, I'm a sinner in need of your forgiveness. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins in Jesus' name. I repent in turning from sinning and doing wrong. And right now I believe that Jesus died and rose again for my sin, and I accept his payment. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart right now and be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer and coming into my heart and saving me according to your word. I love you, Lord, and I ask you to seal me in the blood of Jesus and help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray that prayer for the first time, it's important to get yourself a Bible. Start digging in. Don't start at the end. Start at the beginning. You need to understand the beginning to really understand the end. Get yourself involved in a good Bible-based church, teaching from the Word, preaching from the Word. Get involved in a small group. Start learning how to pray. Start talking to like-minded Christians around you. It'll do wonders for you. You got anything over there?
No.
No? Well, we appreciate everyone that has been joining us for these 100 episodes so far, and hopefully 100 more, 1,000 more, however many we can get, we'll take, right?
Absolutely.
But we enjoy the time every week, and you know, if you got a topic that you want to hear, you know, send us an email, reach out to us. Don't forget about ChristianPolitiTalk.com.
Oh, please reach out with some topics, because Michael doesn't like me doing all the topics. Always bring like the heated topics. Please send a topic.
But reach out to us. Visit us on our website. Send us a message. We'd love to hear from you. Start praying for everything that's going on in the country. Remember to pray for government. Bible commands we do that. Pray for the Lord to shine his light in all the dark places so that everyone can see and start to build a better relationship with him. Well, we really appreciate you joining us. Hope you'll join us again next Thursday. We would love for you to come listen or send us an email, and we'll talk about what you want to talk about.
Or we'll talk about something that I'm curious about.
Mary Beth is curious about everything.
I am.
But once again, thanks for joining us tonight. We'll see you guys right here next week.
Want to reach out to us? Here's how. Contact us at ChristianPolitiTalk@gmail.com. Also, don't forget our website, ChristianPolitiTalk.com. We appreciate you joining us and hope you have a blessed week. Walking down this
produced by Sound Image Productions.